few pages back to this.
That's with the letters?
Yeah. So if you turn to the top of page two.
Yeah, page two.
Page two of the independent auditor report?
That's it.
Okay.
On the top, you have the opinion. Basically, it says, "In our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the town as of December 31st, 2013, for the year that ended, in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America." That's known as a unqualified opinion, and recently they changed that terminology to an unmodified opinion, and it's also known as a clean opinion, and it's the best opinion that you can receive. Okay? Next, I'd like to turn to page 53 and 54. Which is the general fund comparative schedule of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance, both the budget and the actual. The general fund is the primary operating fund of the town. And on the top portion of the page, you have your revenues, and the columns going left to right, you have the original budget, the final budget, the actual revenues, and then the variance with the final budget, both positive and negative. The total revenues, the original budget was $18,371,000. The final budget remained the same, and the actual results came in at $20,285,000, which resulted in a positive budgetary variance of $1,914,000. I'll just point out some of the larger variances. The second one down, the other tax items, you had a positive variance of $201,000. And that was primarily resulted from interest and penalties and real property taxes that were collected during the year. The next item down, the non-property taxes, had a positive variance of almost $322,000, and that was primarily from the sales tax collected during the year. If you go down to the license permits, you'll see that the positive variance was $670,000. And that was primarily due to building permits in the current year. And that revenue increased. If you look across to the right, you'll see the 2012 figure of $588,000, almost 100% over the prior year. The state aid, which is the third number up in the revenue, from the bottom of the revenues, there was a positive variance of $309,000, and that was primarily from the mortgage tax revenue. Okay. So the total revenues overall increased the actual by 11% from 2012. If you go down to the expenditures, the original budget was $19,084,000, the final budget remained the same, and the actual results were $18,822,000, which generated a positive $262,000 positive surplus on the budgetary basis. Some of the larger expenditures, the home and community services, there was a negative variance of $220,000, and that was primarily from planning board fees and from litigation expenditures. The employee benefits had a positive variance of $438,000, and that was primarily from health. And included in the employee benefits, the retirement expenditure increase between the employee's retirement and police retirement increased about 22% from the prior year.
Can I stop you right there?
Certainly.
That's a good topic.
Okay.
So what's how many years have you been reviewing the books and records?
As a partner, probably 6-7 years maybe.
And you do other municipalities as well?
That's all I do in municipalities.
Yes. So what are the challenges that are facing Newcastle as well as other municipalities as far as benefits going forward for employees?
Well, fortunately, in 2014, we'll talk about the retirement. The retirement rates are based on a five-year averaging, which means that because all the money is sent up to the state, it's invested by the state, they look for an 8% return. So they take a five-year average, and they determine the rates that you have to contribute every municipality.
In a look, they have a guaranteed return.
Pardon me?
They have a guaranteed return.
Exactly.
Right.
So the fact that in 2008 and 2009, when the market took the decline, the rates skyrocketed right after that, in 10 and 11. now in 2013 and 14, those years are dropping off the calculations. The market's increased every year since then. So we anticipate that the employee retirement system, the rates will come down. And you get an estimated bill in March, or when do you get your estimate, August, or?
Soon, usually in June, I think.
You'll get an estimated bill. We anticipate that the rates will come down for the retirement. The health insurance, are you part of the state plan?
No, we're with MEPCO.
Well, the New York State Health Plan, which is sort of a benchmark for all of the plans that most municipalities are in or they're not in the state plan, the anticipated rates last year for 14 initially came out at an increase of, I think, 4.5 to 5%. The actual increase was only 2.5%. So again, the health, even though they're increasing, they're not increasing at the rates that they had originally anticipated.
I can comment on ours specifically. We're with a healthcare consortium called MEPCO. It's a group of 9 municipalities that combine to pool our rates. And what we did towards the middle of last year, the consortium reorganized, and we were able to take advantage. It's a self-insured plan, and we actually had a significant fund balance within that plan. After we reorganized, we eliminated some of the top-end risk. Some of the municipalities that were in this consortium had some significant losses. They had some catastrophic illnesses that wiped out their fund balance. So essentially what happens to us, there's a working layer where we're self-insured. We pay our own, out of our fund balance, we collect it every month, we pay it out every month. At the top end, we have a stop loss, and anything that exceeds, any claim that we have that exceeds $75,000, the difference between $75,000 and whatever the claim is picked up. So within the consortium, the rates were already low, and we were able to use some of our fund balance to offset some of the premium. So we actually we're actually going to experience a slight decrease in 14. Versus the prior year. And in 15, we're looking at probably at maximum a 3% increase, perhaps even as low as flat again. So for healthcare, we're trending in the right direction right now.
I mean, the increase from 2012 to 13 for your health benefits was $20,000 on almost $2.6 million of total expenditures. So,
okay, good.
You're okay there. Okay, so if you take the positive budgetary variance for the revenues of $1,000,009 and you add in the expenditure positive variance of $262,000, overall on the budgetary basis, you had a positive budgetary variance of almost $2.2 million. After the other financing sources and uses, that you also had a positive budgetary variance of $249,000, and that was primarily due to the issuance premium you received on a bond sale. That money is reserved for debt service, and it is used to pay off the interest on the borrowings that you just did. So you got a premium, and you use that to offset the interest. So overall, if you look at the third number up from the bottom, the net changing fund balance, the bracketed $64,000, that's basically fund balance that you anticipated using when you put together the 2013 budget. But because you had a positive net change in fund balance of $2,361,000, overall you had a positive budgetary variance of
$2,425,000.
Okay. Going back to the actual column, if you take the net change in fund balance of $2,361,000, add that to the fund balance at the beginning of the year, $4,645,000, you ended the year with a total fund balance of $7,006,000. Any questions on this page?
Actually, I don't know if this is the right place to ask, but at one point during your discussion, I'd like you to talk about, you know, our internal controls.
I have another report.
Hey, Rob, what's the number that Moody's likes to see for this?
Back on page 52. What they're looking for towards the bottom is the unassigned fund balance, which is essentially the fund balance as it starts out from the top to the bottom, from non-spendable all the way down to assigned, are varying levels of restrictiveness on what you can spend that money for.
Right.
So the unassigned is essentially what's cash in the bank.
That's
what we actually have on hand and could use if we needed for.
And the other thing I'd like you to discuss is maybe the tax cap a little bit, what you're seeing, how other municipalities are dealing with that.
Okay.
Big topic.
Okay. Fine. So on page 52, as you started referring to the fund balance section, I believe 2 years ago, the Government Accounting Standards Board came out with a pronouncement, GASB 54, which changed the terminology in this fund balance section. There's a, on page 47, there's more detail, but we could just stay here for the time being because I do explain everything that's here. The non-spendable consists of prepaid expenditures and long-term receivable for taxes for the county and school taxes, which the town is not collecting on their behalf, so we set up a receivable for that. So that money is non-spendable. The restricted fund balance, the $736,000, is for debt service. As I mentioned earlier, the issuance premium, that money gets reserved for debt service and is used to offset the interest payments when they come due on the bond that you borrowed. And that's what's in that $736,000. The assigned fund balance consists of encumbrances, which are purchase orders that were submitted at the end of the year, but you have not received the goods or services as of December 31st, so that money is assigned. And you also have in there $5,000, which you're using to balance the 2014 budget. And you have the unassigned fund balance, which is the $3,913,000, and that represents approximately 20% of your 2014 budget. And in terms of your response to your question, what the bond rating agencies are looking for, anywhere from 15% to 25%.
That's great.
So you're in a good position. This will, I anticipate that this will be able to maintain your AAA rating. It will not affect it, I don't believe. I mean, there's a litany of questions that they ask the rating agencies and what they look for. Your reserves are not excessive. Your undesignated fund balance is healthy. So I anticipate that you should be okay for any future borrowings.
Great.
Oh, I got a question. We're going to maintain the AAA. AAA rating. I don't want anybody to get nervous with this question. Let's assume we did. Like, what are the consequences? Like, what is the interest rate increase?
How much would it increase if you weren't?
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. I don't know what you did. You have a borrow. You had a borrowing this year.
Right? 13.
Yep. Let's see what the rates are, and I can answer that question. Okay. You borrowed almost $5.5 million. The interest rate's at 2 to 4%.
It was effective about a 2.4% actually.
Right, the overall effective rate is 2.4 for you. It's based on the maturities. There's a municipality that I deal with that has a, they're one level above junk.
And are you really going to the extreme?
Just to give you an idea. And they could have borrowed at 2.8%.
Only 0.4%.
So that's our material.
So what's the significance besides the badge of honor?
Unfortunately, are we on camera?
Yes.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some of the people who are in these rating agencies are not 100% familiar with municipal finances, because in reality, based on your constitutional tax limit, there is no way that you would ever default on a borrowing. The same thing for, I mean, this other municipality that I spoke with that has a negative rating, their tax, their current tax levy is probably, I don't know if it's $140 million, but their constitutional limit, they could raise up to $700 million in taxes if they wanted to. So the likelihood of them defaulting is remote. So to justify a negative outlook, I don't know. As I said, there are a litany of other questions that they determine your bond rating on, and unfortunately they do have a deficit, so that contributes to their, you know, bond rating. But your particular case and the impact, if it did go down, I don't anticipate it would be significant.
But just to be clear, you know, there's no threat of that, and we're not there. It's just a high.
Oh, no, you're going to have to close it.
Just for education.
I was just curious because everybody talks about AAA. I was just wondering. It's nice to know what the.
Well, there aren't very many municipalities in the state that are AAA.
But it makes a difference with who could buy our bonds.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
They're more attractive to purchase.
How much money we could raise, so that's what it is.
Exactly.
But what are your recommendations to municipalities, because who are looking, who need to make capital improvements, because that's really our biggest issue.
Right, that's where I was going with the tax cut question.
Right, if we don't address infrastructure, we'll run into problems later, but the only way to do that is to override the cap, and how do we do that and not lose our bond rating?
Well, I don't believe that overriding the cap would affect your bond rating. I don't believe that would be the case.
That's not something that the rating agency looks at?
I honestly don't know, okay? I mean, you might have a better idea because they do ask you.
They ask that question, and I have a sense, as you said, there's a number of factors that go into it. It's probably not a factor that is as significant as our fund balance, as our demographics, as our tax collection rates, as some of the types of things that they look for, as our cash flow, those types of things. It's probably not as important.
It's more of a political question. Right.
One other thing that you can do for a capital project, you could do a short-term borrow, known as a bond anticipation note. And those interest rates are probably below 1% right now. Okay, but those have to be paid off or converted to long-term debt within 5 years.
The problem is that we're so, you know, to override the cap, I mean, there's not a lot of room between the ceiling and where we are currently to finance these projects.
Right.
That's the issue. I'm sure on interest basis, but there's still principal that needs to be paid.
Exactly. So that's why the bond anticipation notes, the short-term borrowing, at a lower interest rate, less than 1% currently, that would require, you know, less of an expenditure to pay back.
Right. Okay. It's basically all principal and very little interest.
Yeah, the interest is under 1%. Depending upon the project, how long it has to be, you know, go out for and so forth, you may look into that. And who's your bond counsel? Is it the capital markets or?
Capital markets.
They're very good. They could certainly work with you on any borrowing that you need for capital, you know, for capital projects, and advise you and give you all the scenarios if you issue a ban, a short-term borrowing, or a long-term a bond. They can give you all the, you know, expenditures and so forth associated with each issue. They would be able to work with you on that.
Okay.
If we could turn to page 61, I just wanted to go over the highway fund. Again, the format on page 61 is the same as the general fund. And if you look at the total revenues, you had a positive budgetary variance of $314,000. On the expenditure side, you had a negative variance of $142,000. But overall, it was a positive budgetary variance of $172,000. And in the actual column, the third number up from the bottom, there was a decrease in your fund balance, a minimal decrease of $1,500. The net change in fund balance in the original budget was bracketed $173,000, was the amount that you had anticipated using to balance the budget. You only used $1,500 of that. So overall, you had a positive budgetary variance of $171,000.
And where is that? The $142,284,
what comprises that? Pardon me? Oh, the line says total expenditures?
Mm-hmm.
What was your question, I'm sorry?
What comprised that overage?
Well, basically, if you look at the transportation line, the modified budget was $2,095,000. You actually spent $2,375,000. So you run the budget by $279,000. There are various components that go into that particular line item.
I can comment on that, what that is, what that expenditure. That's a lot of the cleanup from Hurricane Irene was the last one. We had contractors, so a lot of tree work that had to be done with the town, and a lot of that, that's what that money is there. I will tell you good news, we got money back from FEMA. Finally, $342,000.
Wow, that we just got it back?
Yes.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why that's a negative variance in 2013. It'll be a positive variance in 2014.
Right.
That's all I've prepared to discuss, or will, you know, anything else you'd like to discuss around the financial savings, I'd be happy to. Those are your major funds and your primary operating fund, the general fund. If you want, I can go to the internal control ledger now. Do they have copies of it?
They should.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
The report that the label communication internal control matters identified in the audit. And if you turn to page 3, this is addendum A. I will say that there are 3 different levels of control deficiencies. One is a significant deficiency, another is a material weakness, and the third is a control deficiency. Everything in this letter are control deficiencies, which is the least severe of the 3. Okay? And primarily, most of these comments are informational for the board to be aware of the situations, but there were no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses that we found during the audit. The first one has to do with property acquired for taxes. On the general fund balance sheet, there's an account that has $338,000 to remain unchanged for the past couple of years. We do not have a detailed schedule of what makes up that amount. And our recommendation is that a schedule be prepared so that when these properties are sold, you'll be able to properly record the gain on the sale of the property. So when you do sell a property, you'll have to identify which piece of that $338,000 is actually being sold so you can do the proper accounting for it.
Okay. And if I can just address a comment to that, we have, that's a project that my office in conjunction, that's one of the projects that we're using, one of the summer interns, is to research all these properties. We have that balance. We haven't sold anything in a while, and we also haven't added anything to that. So, but we're going to research all of these properties and come up with a more of a up-to-date number on that.
Gonna back into it.
Yeah, that's
fair. The next comment has to do with the capital projects fund. Normally, what we include in our report is a project length schedule, which lists a detailed schedule of each capital project and the funding source, and in most cases the serial bonds that were issued for the project, the expenditures, and then the fund balance. I know the board is working on it. It's very important for the town to know what borrowings they've made and how the projects are progressing and what the availability of the funds left on that project are. So our recommendation is to include this capital project link schedule in the report. Anticipate maybe next year we'll have one to include. The next comment on page 4 has to do with the payroll walkthrough. In our review, we noted that the certain hourly rates were not approved by the town board within the rec department. We recommend that all salaries are approved by the town board. There was no indication in the personnel files for these indications that they were approved by the town board.
Right, and the town board will recall that over the past month we have been approving all hourly rates for all our employees, including architect and intern.
So therefore, I would anticipate that this comment will not appear next year.
No, it won't.
Correct.
Appear.
In fact, you're seeing a little asterisk right there.
Yeah. Consider
we
it done.
We still have to do the testing, but
okay.
The next comment had to do with the bids walkthrough and the procurement policy of the town. You noted that one of the, there's no bid for cleaning services. So anything above a certain dollar amount, the town is required to go out for a bid, competitive bids and so forth. And we didn't see any bids for this particular service, which was in excess of the procurement policy limitations.
So we should get an asterisk on that one too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my comment on that is these first two were discovered in the preliminary audit that was completed in the beginning of January. We reacted to both of them right away. We went out to bid for the cleaning services contract, and that's been awarded. So that was an oversight. It was actually awarded to the company that had been performing the services before the contract expired. And we went back out to bid, and they won the bid again. So
as part of the audit process, before we actually come and do the actual audit, sometime, probably in October, November, we send a few staff people in to do preliminary field work, and they test all the controls, the payroll, the claims, the bids, and so forth. And that's where this was discovered. So we're testing all your internal controls prior to the start of the audit. And that's where that was discovered.
And who, Rob, who is, who's devising those internal controls? Because I know generally you would look and see, you know, what our issues are and make sure that we have internal controls appropriate so that they can...
Specifically for that, that is kind of collaborated through the, usually with help from the town clerk's office, because they have records of the contracts, and usually we do a review to see what contracts are coming up. Typically, most department heads are aware of what contracts are coming up. Public Works is usually aware of what contracts are coming up, and we do review that. Like I said, that one slipped through the cracks. We did have a contract. It was with, you know, Fullerton, the same company that won the bid. It lapsed in the interim, so Alan found that in the preliminary, and we went right out to bid for that. So.
But are there other contracts? I mean, in other words, every contract obviously has to go through the town board for its approval.
Sure.
So the question is, why, you know, are there other contracts that stand that the town board has not, you know, voted on and that we're not aware of? Just things that automatically get
removed? No, I wouldn't.
No. So the town clerk's office keeps an Excel sheet of all the contracts and how they run. And it's a double check for the individual departments, but the individual departments are charged with sort of knowing that, you know, their contracts are coming up and when they go out to bid for them and things like that. So this was just a combination of DPW not noticing and changes in the town clerk's office and then not having the staffing that they're supposed to have. So, you know, when you say, well, you know, can you really run the office with, you know, one less person? He says, yeah, but not as well as you could with the property staff. And so the, you know, the double checks that were there aren't there.
And that is the internal control.
That is exactly the internal control.
Okay.
The next comment has to do with the compensated absences, and primarily with the police department. All of our testing we do on a sample basis. For payroll, we usually select 50 items of compensated absences. We test about 25 on all the listings that we receive. We noted that of six individuals tested, there were four differences in terms of what was reported by the police department and what we actually had in the schedule prepared by them. So their records didn't jive when they sent it over to the fine. They maintain all their own records. We've made a recommendation on the next page. So we can make this recommendation for the past 2 or 3 years that the information, all the detailed information, should be sent to the finance department to keep track of this. They can keep their records, but it should be sent to the finance department for the accuracy of it, so we can test it.
Yeah, that's a big deal. They should be doing that.
Okay, in the special districts funds, there are various special districts listed there, the Water District 1, Two Castles, Water Commercial Refuge, and so forth, have substantial fund balances. They're excessive in terms of their individual funds and their budgets. It's just something to be aware of in terms of future budgeting for these districts. Kind of information.
I just want to add a couple of comments on that. We are looking at the fund balances in those special districts. For example, in the Water District, we do have a significant fund balance. We have several projects on the horizon, several large projects on the horizon. We know the money's there. It's there so that we'll be able to access that when we need it. We will draw it down at that point. We're not just using it to offset taxes. So we know it's there. For a couple of the smaller districts, in fact, with the Commercial Refuse District number 2 and the Lightning District, we actually lowered the taxes this year in those two districts because we realized that we did have a fund balance, so we lowered the tax levy in those districts. So we will, you know, continue to look at the districts where we don't necessarily need the cash on hand at the levels that we have, and we'll use it to offset the tax rate in those districts.
next comment has to deal with the Justice Court, and basically this is a segregation of duties. I believe there are basically two employees within the Justice Court, and all of the financial transactions are handled by these two individuals. There really is not a clear segregation of duties, and we would like, you also have to consider the cost-benefit relationship of hiring another person. Would that, you know, be a smart thing to do? We're not recommending that, just that there could be some other policies or procedures put in place so that one individual cannot handle all the steps of a particular financial transaction, just to safeguard your cash and your assets.
So, Rob, who's going to formulate those controls?
I do review the bank recs on a regular basis.
No, but I know you review it, but to formulate the control to make sure that, you're not having one person doing everything?
Well, again, it's difficult. There's only two people. So when you say not having one person do everything, both women that are there prepared deposits on different days. Mm-hmm. I think only one of them does the bank recs, but I review that. So again, you know, I understand the comment. Like Alan said, there's two people there. It's hard to have such a segregated list. And maybe if you continue on, because I don't think that you found any significant issues. They do a specific audit on just the Justice Courts. It's not part of the town's audit. It's a separate audit in and of itself, where they focus specifically on that. So there aren't any significant issues related to that. I do have, like I said, I do review all the bank recs and the cash coming and going. So,
Rob, how do we make sure that, you know, talk me through the approval process before, you know, because you have an automated signature from the supervisor, right? So, mm-hmm. which, you know, in a private endeavor, you know, that makes me nervous, you know, mm-hmm. just because. So the question is, you know, obviously we have a fiduciary duty, you know, the ultimate trust in the taxpayers' money. Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that the, you know, what are the controls to make sure that money is not walking out the door and that checks are not being issued that shouldn't be issued? What's the control process?
Well, the control is when a voucher is submitted to my department, some department head has initiated that. So there's a department head signature on every voucher that's submitted for payment. My AP person, I think Ellen can attest to this, is probably one of the best in the county. She is very stringent. Nothing gets by her. We have full backup for everything that's requested. If it requires quotes, we have the quotes. Everything is scanned into our system. The backup is easy to view at any point in time. Again, and we mentioned this earlier in the year, and I haven't heard back that anybody was interested. You receive a report at the end of every month.
That's where I was going, actually.
Listing the audited vouchers. So I had mentioned to you, if you are interested, I can always, it will require a change in the process, because we'll have to become more, we'll have to be more time-oriented, but I can submit an abstract to you.
I thought the decision was, I don't know, maybe I misunderstood, but I thought the decision from the board was that we were going to transition to that type of system.
The question was whether or not you
whether the board pre-approved the vouchers before the checks went out.
Right, and whether or not you wanted to see every $5 voucher, was there a monetary? That's sort of where the board got stuck.
How do other municipalities deal with it?
Basically, the way the town is currently doing it.
So in other words, once the check has been issued and the money's out the door, the town approves the voucher after the.
Some may approve it prior to those.
That's the question.
Don't get what you refer to as
an abstract.
An abstract of all the payments that are going to be made. They'll approve them, then the checks are issued.
Would you think it's a better internal control if the town approves the vouchers prior to the checks being issued?
I think it would be a good idea.
But that's assuming that we're going
to
not just look at the abstract,
we have
but we're going
to
have to look at
every
background behind every single thing.
But it should be a modest, there should be a threshold.
Yeah. Well, the abstract that I provide would be.
Sure that, you know, whatever vouchers coming in is matching what we, you know, promised to pay, what we contracted to pay on the correct pay date. Like, we have to make sure that all of that's in there.
You won't see that. In the abstract, you're going to see essentially what you see now. So you're seeing it ahead of time as opposed to afterwards. So if something on the list caught your eye and you wanted further information, we have that backup.
You know, I think.
But my point being, if you wanted that to be an effective control, just looking at the number beforehand is not a control. Like, if you want a control, it means we're going to, we need to sit and look at all the backup.
I think it's just a, I think the concept is, though, not that we're going to go through, I'm not going to sit down, obviously, I'm going to go sit through with, you know, and cross-reference every document, but I think there's some, you know, it gives people pause if the board, if they're aware that the board has that information before the check is issued. In other words, it's just another set of eyes. So in other words, if they, you know, am I going to know if someone at DPW goes and spends $25 at the hardware store that was a legitimate expenditure? No, but, you know, it gives them pause that ultimately the town board has had the information and pre-approves it
right.
for the check. So I'm not saying it's the be-all and end-all. But I think it's just another set of eyes, and if it's not too disruptive to the operations, I think it's a preferable way to do it.
No, we
maybe
would, we would
randomly
have to
pick one or two then to actually look at the backup.
I mean, that would be fine. I mean, I would have to formalize my process. Currently, we do two, maybe three check runs a month, depending on need. Sometimes there's more in a specific week. If it had to go to the board prior to cutting the checks, then we're going to have cutoff dates for each check. And again, if this is what you want, I can certainly do it. But we have to structure.
Instead of work about it on the fly, why don't you give it some thought and come back to us about
sure.
it?
Sure.
And I don't think the idea is to hold up the process.
No, I understand, certainly. But I'm just saying, as opposed to right now, if my new person says I'm going to cut checks on Thursday, she can cut checks on
correct.
Thursday. If
correct.
We need to wait for your approval, then it's, you know, it's not a delay, but then there's a certain point at which time she has to have everything entered by in order to run the report.
So I guess, but if the check was pursuant to a contract that's just an incremental monthly payment, I don't know that the board necessarily has to, you know, that's an issue. I think it's anything that's just, it's a little discretionary, but
I'm not sure how I would parse out all of that. I mean, to I know what you're saying.
The garbage contract.
Some of our abstracts are 200-300 checks, and you're going to have to look through
right.
each one of those. I'm not sure that I can parse out, say, you okay, pull out Con Ed that's in every month, pull out the water board, pull out Santa Pro, pull out. I don't know that I could pull out specifics from that. I would probably be able to have a threshold where you could go above. I don't know. I haven't.
That's why I get some thought and let us know.
I could look at my accounting
system. The other thing is that the first time we had talked about this, we talked about the fact that there were some significant monthly expenditures that weren't pursuant to contract.
Mm-hmm.
For example, legal bills.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first time, the board is actually seeing the legal bills in total and reviewing them before they're paid, which is something that the board
right.
never saw
right.
before.
Right.
Because
that
was the single, you know, largest expenditure. So that's what we tried to pull out the first time so that you would be seeing significant expenditures, but not necessarily the garbage, which again, a big monthly nut, but pursuant to contract, our Con Ed bill, our fuel bill, our.
I'd be okay with that. Significant expenditures not pursuant to contract.
Yeah,
like I would rely on you if we have a contract and every month we're paying $500. I would rely on you as our controller to know that that's an acceptable
sure.
contract. We've approved it most likely when it was first formulated, so then the payout, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
maybe some purchase orders, maybe that's the way to do it, but some of the single expenditures that are tend to be larger than just the routines, might that be something we can single out?
I just don't think it's practical to, you know, approve the expenditure after it's already been expended.
Well,
you know,
I agree it's more informational to you at that point, but the process has been reviewed internally before it gets to you.
And
so
it ultimately ends up at our
certain things, like if we approve a contract for a certain amount of money, say it's
with
garbage, and the we approve that contract, and then the garbage is paid.
It's paid each
month. We've technically approved that. So if it's being paid according with the schedule we've already approved, I think that's okay.
Yes.
It's just these other, like legal bills is a good example. These other bills, for us to review it after it's already been paid, is probably
also. I think there's another way. You do the preliminary field work for the. Prior to the start of the audit, we look at 50 random claims. And we test various attributes for that particular claim. If there's a purchase order that corresponds to the invoice, that the check number corresponds to the vendor, there's no duplication of vendors. That they said the invoice matches the purchase order, and it was recorded in the right account. So we do, on a random basis, select 50 disbursements. I look at them every year.
But, you know, I don't think we need to spend more time on this. I think you understand, I can debate, but I think you understand my concern.
Maybe give us sort of a category of the type of expenses that I'd be interested in, like legal fees. Is there some other expenses that those big numbers that we should be looking at? Maybe if you could let us know what those are.
Yeah, I would have to.
I think we should focus on the legal fees.
We have a contract.
Do you have a
and it's only paid once a year. So.
I think Rob should give us a thought in
the end. Yeah, sure.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay, next.
The other two comments in the Justice Court were minor, but I guess they're informational. The bail ledger had amounts outstanding that were over 6 years. Basically, after 6 years, if the town makes a good faith effort to return this money to the individuals, they have to do that first. If they can't, then they get a response, the money goes into the general fund.
Right.
Okay, there were outstanding checks that have been outstanding in excess of a year, and basically those should either be written off or reissued. The other comment, the outstanding parking tickets, there's an outstanding balance of about $15,000 that are also 6 years old.
Yeah, we did up to a certain point. What did we do before? We did up to 2000, I think. We avoided all of them before a certain date. I don't recall the date
right,
off the top of my head.
But
it wasn't all the way up to 6 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So, again, that's something we can look at again this year. We had a significant backlog at that point in time, and the women in the court did a great job, you know, preparing that list. And
right, yeah.
Because we had some... You know, we've changed systems, we've changed everything since a lot of those tickets were issued, so.
So Al, I have one other question for you, just back in connection with our financial statements.
Sure.
Are you comfortable with our litigation reserves?
Litigation reserves?
Do we have litigation reserves?
No.
We have no litigation reserves.
Don't we have contingencies for certain in the budget?
There's $150,000 in the contingency line that could be used
for legal
portions of that for
right.
That's what you're referring to. I mean your legal expenses, the detail in here.
What page are you looking at?
So why do we have no litigation reserves? Because they're not probable.
It's not a legal reserve.
Hmm?
I don't believe it's a legal reserve that you can set up.
You mean it's not legal?
You say reserve.
You make, yeah, in what Alan, I think what Lisa might mean is just our budget line, our appropriation for this year, because we're not allowed to put money in a kitty, for lack of a better word, waiting for legal fees to accrue. We have to anticipate yearly what our budget will be and put that aside. We don't necessarily have over and above that we can reserve.
Okay, and what number is that?
There's a contingency of $150,000 if we go above our legal, above what I think there's two or three lines within the budget that encompass legal fees. I don't know them off the top of my head, but so we have probably another 150 outside of that. Typically, I meet with council in September or October to review if they were to increase their retainer fees or if they had any recommendations on if we had any pending litigation. For the next year, what that might look like. So I can tell you in the past couple of years, we haven't changed the actual budget appropriations very much in those lines based on what prior council has recommended.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have one question. I don't know if you've covered it already, but has either the town board thought to ask about money somewhere for the master plan, or has the master plan steering committee thought to ask you for any money to set aside as a budget, or are you handling it on an ad hoc basis?
This is an audit report. This is not a
budget. I don't think we have it.
Oh, all right.
This is the audit report from last year's financial statements.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
But I think that if someone were to ask us that, it would be on an ad hoc basis at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the 2014 budget, I think we've answered this a couple times, that nothing was set aside, you know, going forward in 15. Could we add that to the appropriation for 15? Certainly we could. In 14, again, if there's expenses that the board deems necessary, they can approve those expenses. So.
Right. But Christine, the reserves, based on, you know, what we've been told at this meeting, the reserves are higher than what we anticipated. And if we were to do a survey, that money would be coming out of reserves.
By how much was it higher?
Well, I'm not sure we had an actual forecast, but the fund balance, the unassigned fund balance is $3.9 million right now.
And is that due to mortgage tax rise?
There's, I think Alan missed a couple things, but yeah. I mean, the building permits, county sales tax, mortgage tax, were all, we saw increases in all of those categories. Yeah, we had some savings on expenditures, commuter parking. We got some FEMA money in last year that we weren't expecting.
That I heard.
Quite a few factors that went into that.
Great.
And when are we going to start the budget process for this year? I know we've been doing it earlier and earlier, but...
About the second week, I talked to the last department head meeting that I'll formalize the schedule soon. About the second week of July, I will print out reports for all the department heads where they get to submit their requests. I usually give them about 3 to 4 weeks, and then they'll meet back with me and Jill to discuss their requests and refine what they might want to put in their column of the budget. Then typically they meet with the board. You know, we prepare a tentative, and then they meet with the board. So that should probably be the beginning, first or second week of October, when they meet with the board.
Okay,
so in your packets you had information for the first quarter. I'm going to be kind of brief, and you can ask me as many questions as you want. The first quarter numbers are usually not very indicative of what you can expect for the year. A lot of the revenue sources aren't in yet, and a lot of the expenses haven't been paid yet. So these are figures through the end of the first quarter, March 31st. As part of your packet, you got the raw data for each of the major funds, the general fund, highway fund, the refuse fund, and the water fund. And then I prepared two sets of commentary, one where I talk the actual versus last year's numbers. I think that's limited in its usefulness. It maybe gives you perspective where you are. I think more importantly is the other set of comparisons. It's the actual versus the budget. That tells us, that gives us a better gauge of how well we predicted everything for the year and whether or not we're adding to our fund balance essentially at the end of the year. So I'll go over the actual versus the budget. The first paragraph, I talk about the factors that are affecting multiple funds. So obviously we're through the first quarter, you would expect all the expenditures to be at or below hopefully 25% for the year. Going over each of the funds, the general fund was at 24.24%, so pretty much right on target. Highway was 29.44%. We'll break out a little bit of that, but that would be kind of expected based on the winter that we had. The refuse fund, 28.65%, and the water fund, 20%. So none of those numbers is too far out of whack. Talking about the general fund expenditures, I'll just go over a couple of, not everything I noted here is even significant, but the employee benefits, those show up right now as 40% of the budget, even though we're a quarter of the way through the year. And as Alan discussed, we pay that, the billing for the retirement is odd. We get it in December for kind of the year before. So we've already prepaid in December. We paid the first 3 months of this year. We won't get the bill for the other 9 months until next December. we anticipate, Merritt Island say we anticipate the rates to go down, so I still think we're right about on target for where we should be. The equipment and capital outlay showed the high percentage to budget, but that was because we had to repair an air conditioning unit, and the majority of that was covered by insurance. Probably the most significant expenditure category is in the highway fund, and we all know what kind of winter that we had, so I'll go over those numbers. The personnel services for the highway fund is at 37.38% of budget. That's pretty high. A lot of that was overtime. Under the category of snow removal overtime, we have $27,000 left in the budget for the year, and we're at 85%. For the highway department overtime, they're already over budget by $3,600. And the mechanics department, who also come to work, you know, during the snow emergencies, we're $9,000 over budget there. So we're hoping we don't see any more snow until January 1 at the earliest. Under the contractual expenditures, overall that category is 33% of the budget so far, but that the biggest expenditure there is salt. We've already spent $216,000 this year, and we're at 100% of budget pretty much to the penny. So I talked with Jerry Marshall actually this week. We have enough for a couple more storms. We may or may not top off at the end of the year our salt shed.
Did Jerry go with that new, is he going to go with that new kind of salt, that molasses? Maybe I can talk to Jerry about it.
Yeah, I think there's an additive that they put in the salt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were experimenting with that this year. I think they had good luck with that.
They loved it.
Some of the other contractual expenditures, gasoline and diesel were up significantly because of the snow plowing operations. Again, that was expected. The refuse fund, all the expenses are right about where we would expect them to be in the first quarter. The water fund, we saw personnel expenses up a little bit over that 25%. That's because of overtime for water main breaks that we had quite a few of. And then talking about revenue sources, I'll go over a few of these. Not very many of our revenue sources have come in yet. In the general fund, you'll start to see camp revenues coming in the second quarter for summer camp parking permits. The clerk's office is a huge revenue source. We get mortgage tax twice a year. That's going to be in June and December, so we haven't seen that yet. Sales tax, that kind of comes in after the end of the quarter. So I did already receive the first payment, and we're ahead of budget by a couple percent on that, 600 plus. We are above first quarter expectations for that. In the highway fund, a source of revenue is CHIPS money that we receive from the state for road paving projects. We haven't begun to pave the roads yet, so that's a reimbursable expense. We won't receive that until we spend the money. For the refuse fund, the recycling center, they don't start to get going until April or May, when they start to take in trees and branches and sell the compost and mulch. As far as the water fund, you start to see the peak consumption over the summer, so we really haven't had a lot of water usage over the winter yet. And the tax levy gets booked on April 1st in every fund, so you'll see that in the second quarter numbers.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I know you mentioned in highway the overtime.
Mm-hmm.
At what point can you determine whether it pays to hire another employee or whether we should just continue to pay overtime? I know you can't gauge mm-hmm. the storms, but is there a point where could you look at historical information?
You can. That like you said, it's kind of hard. That's a situation where some years you win and some years you lose. And the year before, our personnel expenses were probably 75% of what we had budgeted because we didn't have any storms, or we had a minimal amount of storms. So you're always going to have some degree of overtime because a lot of that's overnight, and you're paying those guys to come in overnight, and it's not their scheduled work hours. So you know, that's a decision that maybe you sit down with the commissioner and discuss. Probably, you know, I think every department always wants another employee.
Of course.
I don't think he would object if you offered him one. So.
No, but I just, because I know we always talk about overtime, and there's always, you know, the line you cross about paying for employee versus overtime.
Yeah, that's valid, and in maybe more so in the water department, maybe where some of these guys are having to stay later with the water main breaks. The snow, you're always going to have a little bit of overtime. Police, that's a very valid point, and the chief typically makes that point when he argues for staffing levels, because that's how he's able to keep his overtime down, is to have an optimal number of employees there. So, as I said, I'm not sure. To me, the comparisons to 2013 are just informational. Did anybody have any comments, or did you want me to go all the way through them? I'll mention a few things that we had. We already discussed in talking about our financials that the health insurance has decreased, and the retirement we're expecting to decrease as well. That's really probably the key point here. Just a couple of things that are down a little bit from last year. In revenue, the property tax penalties, for lack of a better word, our inventory is way down now. We collected a lot of delinquent taxes last year, so there's not that much out there to earn tax interest and penalties on. Concession income is up by about $40,000, but I think that's just due to the payment timing. That's money that comes in from Verizon and Cablevision, the franchise fees. And I would mention that the departmental revenue is down slightly. Summer camps, we are seeing, based on the numbers I have so far, we're probably not going to hit our goals for the year. It's down $70,000 over the first month. It picked up a little more in April. I'm yet to see the complete May numbers, but I know we're not going to, we won't reach 2013 levels most likely.
You know, with the main camp or like the specialty camps, like a week, you know?
That's talking about, there's three summer camps that they run. So like we kind of, when we talk about camps, we lump those together. That's exclusive of what happens at the Art Center, senior citizen
so
income.
So it's Trick or Train, the day camp, and Tots camp.
Right, that's
it's
not
like the David Bowl.
No, that's not that. That's not the youth athletics. That's not. Okay. Those are specifically our summer camps.
Okay.
And kind of, we've seen that vary significantly, and I've been here 7 years, and we've seen that vary. And we kind of think that maybe it's due to the economy turning around. When the economy was worse, we actually did better in our summer camps,
right.
And we kind of theorized that maybe people didn't have the money to send their kids away, and now that the economy has turned, that maybe more people are going away to camp. So,
what's the average age, and what's the biggest group in the summer camps for the camp for the town? Like 5-year-olds?
No, I think it's the older kids actually, or the middle range group. We've got a travel group. Tots camp, and what's the...
Well, there's the Trick or Train, then there's
yeah.
the regular camp, day camp, those are the 9 to 3, and then we've got the Tots camp. Which
I think it's the middle
12.
Group. I don't think it's the Tots camp. I don't think it's the younger age. That's the...
Yeah. Interesting. So those things, the Tots camp could be tied to the housing market. You don't have young families buying houses over the past 2 years.
Could be.
You have less kids and little kids in the camp.
Interesting. So that's the... commentary offer on that.
How do we, and then on the staff, so obviously the expenses on the campsite go down too.
Well, presumably they do. We'll have to see, and we're hoping that, I have to tell you, last summer was the best summer in probably 4 or 5 years in summer camp.
You're talking about from a fun perspective or from a...
No.
I don't know where you're going with that one.
I'm not about
like,
fun.
What do you do for the summer?
Did you say fun or fun?
I said F-U-N. I don't know. He was talking about, I don't know if that was like an advertisement.
I'm not concerned with fun. All I'm concerned with is the
money. The only one you care is F-U-N-D, not the F-U-N.
But I have to say that in comparison to past years, they really controlled expenses last year. They watched where the revenue was coming in. We had a couple years where they overexpended on
right.
camp counselors because they had projected a certain amount, and then they got to this point and we didn't have the registration and they had already hired these people. So we did a much better job last year, and I anticipate the same this year.
Gotcha. Sorry, I'm joking around a little
bit. Not a problem. Are there any other questions on the first quarter, any of the revenues or expenditures? Okay, I passed around a cash flow analysis, which I'm sorry, didn't make it into the packet, but I distributed here. This is kind of a forecast for me where I'm mapping out all the money I expect to come in during the year and the money that I expect to go out. If you look across the bottom shaded parts, those are within each of those months, I describe kind of some of the either notable receipts that we expect for the month or notable disbursements that we expect for the month. A couple lines up, it's also shaded where it says total cash on hand. That's how much cash we're projected to have. So as you can see, we're pretty healthy. We're not in a situation where we're going to be short of cash. Do you have any questions on, or did we want to talk any more on the workers' comp stuff, or is that?
Nick, is that something that we talk about in work session or executive?
This is on the workers' comp with respect to, we do have some questions about the executive session.
Well, we're talking about this thing.
So then maybe we'll move into executive session. We'll take care of the chief, and then we'll come back to the work session.
Sorry, we can't kick you out.
Just so I understand, we're out for the next few minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
Gotcha. We don't want your legs to bust.
No, it's all right.
Okay, so then
so we need to listen to the motion to award for a couple of
for personnel contract.
I'll just be auditing the fund balance.
Okay, that should be fun. The fund balance. You have to unbalance.
Yeah. I'm sorry, motion to move into executive session?
Yes.
For personal
second. Personal, okay.
Yes. See you guys.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Assist the development department with the scanning of department files.
Yeah, we actually need the name.
And to hire Jamie Carfora. Right. Carfora.
Right, perfect.
Is there any other name here?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Okay.
You know it said two full-time.
I know, but she only was able to find.
And that's why I'm saying, is there another name here?
Okay. So we're getting, when she gets me another name, I'll give you another resolution.
She's like two.
I hope so.
Okay. We doing websites? This is Lisa's pet project.
This is my pet project.
This is your baby?
Okay, tell us about it.
So we have three proposals here. One is from a company called Rev Design. The other one is called Cadence from 80 Design and Media. And the third one
where we need to get
a real quote from, according to Nick. So it wasn't actually included.
Right.
We have to get a real quote.
That was from your guy. Okay, so we'll get a real quote, but it was more than what these are. It was more money. So my recommendation is to use Rev Design to design our website. They've done the website for Putnam County. They're doing a lot of municipal work. They do a fabulous job. I have met with them, talked to them about some of the other websites that we like, that we think are helpful. We looked at that. The main person here, his name is George Barbarossa. He's the principal of Rev Design. It would include everything listed here on the proposal. And I can probably get a little more out of him too. For the total cost of $11,225. To revamp our website. I think he'll do a really great job. And I know we talked about this before, but this is kind of the official proposal. He is happy to come in and meet with the board if you want to. I don't know if anyone wants to do that, but I know he's happy to do that. So, I'd like to finally be able to move forward to get our website redone.
Sure. Where are we getting the money?
I wish I could do on my own, but I can't.
Well,
are we paying anything now to anybody?
Well, we currently pay NCCMC to update our website and to maintain it for us. So that's when type in updates at NCCMC, they're the ones that take care of it. And they would still take care of it. So this really has, I mean, does his proposal actually have to do with the updates and things like that?
It includes hosting if we need them to. He will also train people here
mm-hmm.
to update it. So if we want to add things on it, we do not have to keep going back to him and have him and charge us. He will teach us how to update that as well.
Because I'd rather have the revenue go to the center.
Right. We like to support them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they need the income.
Right.
Yeah,
so we can have them do that too. He can train them to do that, but I think he should train a couple of us
too. It's easy to send an email to update.
How long did it take them to do it?
What did he say?
He said 4 to 6 weeks, barring extensive edits.
Yeah,
right. Rounds of scheduled revisions. I know that Sabrina had a lot of specifics that she really wanted to have in the website, certain pages for the master plan and for the development department.
His thought was, I have met with him, but he would come and sit down and speak to either us as a board or with Sabrina, however we want to make sure that we incorporate everything.
And are we going to mimic that one that from Austin? Texas?
Yeah,
that was
we
really
like
cool.
That one. Yeah.
It was like, I'm a contractor, and you click on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
very user friendly.
Yeah, it's
really interesting. So what are the next steps then? Does the board want to meet him, or are we okay with just the numbers?
I personally don't need to meet him. I'd rather him meet with the people who are, as far as design,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, just like interviewing him. I'd rather spend his time with actual design issues.
I agree.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm with you.
Okay.
That's exciting.
All right, yes. So we're going to get the third proposal.
Can you just email that to us?
Yep.
She'll just email that to us?
Yeah, so so we just need a full as opposed to, a proposal like Red Design and the other media.
So you want me to ask my guy to send us a proposal even though I'm not choosing him? It's okay, I do. It's okay.
Well, we just need a full proposal.
He doesn't need
as
to know
we're
not choosing him anyway.
Well,
we will evaluate them after we get all three, and then we will make a decision.
Yeah, I understand
that.
It's fine.
And you're going to find the money from somewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
We have the funds. Rob keeps explaining to me that, how when we took a look at the financials where there was, maybe a deficit in one fund,
mm-hmm.
but there
sure.
are surpluses in the second.
Mm-hmm.
So we have surpluses in personnel funds because we haven't hired staff. So although we may overrun on town board projects, we have money in other funds.
Has
so
he one other question? Could he work on, on channel, I'm done. FiOS, it's 47, where the meetings are. Could he,
mm-hmm.
like those pages, when they're not in session, where they say, town hall, this is going on Monday,
right.
Tuesday. Could he maybe design
sure
something so it
that.
Looks consistent to the website?
Yes.
Oh,
he would definitely do that. We can.
You know what I'm talking about?
We would do that as well.
Like, so when you're on turn 47 at 3 in the morning, it says on Monday night, town hall, we're having,
it gives you like the calendar.
Conference room A has the town
right.
board or whatever. So just so the aesthetic of it looks like the
oh,
website.
He is very good at, designing the logos and making sure that you have a cohesive image everywhere.
Right.
He's very into that.
What they're doing also at the website just right now, I think that's a good idea what you're saying, but right now what they're doing also at the website is they're taking content from the e-newsletter.
Yeah,
they're putting on that channel.
Yeah, I noticed that. It looks good.
Yeah.
They had the logo there
right.
by Newcastle.
They're using that content.
I can have them do that.
You can even get the newsletter.
You won't charge extra for it.
You're Mr. Messaging,
sure.
but,
Well, it's actually Carrie's idea. She's like, why don't we just throw this on the channel?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, people watch that channel.
You flip through channels and you stop.
Okay, the next thing is Mount Pleasant.
I look and I click it.
No, because Bell Country Club, they're asking for a waiver from the noise ordinance for 2 days in August. One is a Saturday night, the other one Saturday night, August 8th, and again Saturday, August 15th as the rain date. So it's actually going to be just one day.
Is this something they do every year?
It's something that they do every year. Shall I ask if there's an invite coming our way?
You can get it from our new broker, Archer.
Oh, all right.
Jason's a member of that.
Is he a member of the Spoke Country Club?
Jason?
He is.
Jacob.
Oh, is he?
Okay, with invite, I'll put down, okay?
No, I'm kidding.
You can't say it in front of Nick.
Oh, sorry.
The next is a request to extend the Ossining Sanitary Sewer District. This is part and parcel of the that 30-year renewal of lease. Basically, there are several parcels in Newcastle that it's 12 properties on Hope Cross Road in Pinesbridge. That were formerly owned by IBM. They are special districts that we tax, and they have to be formally incorporated into the Ossining Sanitary Sewer District, and that's where they're going to belong going forward. So we just need permission from the board to request to extend the sewer district to include these 12 parcels.
Okay.
It would be a little bit of a cost savings.
No, it's going to be a cost savings to them.
Because they'll be in district as opposed to out of district.
Out of district. So they've actually been paying a premium this entire time.
Okay. And then it doesn't cost the town anything.
No.
Okay. And does it cover all of the houses in the area? Because we always
just those 12. These are 12 parcels that were being taxed separately. So they were being taxed out of district rates for Ossining Sanitary Sewer. They were paying a Newcastle Sewer District. They were also paying a county sewer district.
Right,
it's just these 12.
So there were no other houses? Okay.
It's just an anomaly. It was part of the subdivision from IBM years and years ago.
Because I had a resident come to me last week to tell a story about not being included in the change to the sewer district.
No, that's when that's Judy McGrath.
Yeah, why didn't I mention it? She had to do it on her own, and it took 2 years to get done, and I think you helped her.
She did it with tremendous help from the board. But, yeah, she did it independently.
Right.
Vertical grinder, in our grinder. So the good news is that evidently the muffler on our grinder was broken.
That's good news?
Yes, because that's fixable.
Okay.
So it has now been fixed, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm.
This is the grinder that's on its last leg?
I thought that was the horizontal grinder.
Yes,
the vertical grinder.
Horizontal. It's the grinder. The grinding is definitely a noisy operation at the DPW center. I'd asked the guys down there if there is some places that they can relocate it. They have told me that they have explored other places and that it simply doesn't work. That is where our mulch is sold, and it does make some sense to keep it down there. They have been trying to be better neighbors to Chestnut Oaks, and the grinding is restricted to 8 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday through Friday. You know, and it's seasonal, obviously. It's not all year round. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for the neighbors, it's seasonal when it's nice to be outside and the windows are open and you'd like to be able to be on your deck. And it makes noise.
What about enclosing it?
You can't enclose. I asked for
that. Maybe it's
maybe if they got a new piece of machinery at some point, maybe that's quieter.
You know, I asked them about that, and I asked if we got a new and improved one, which,
right,
you know, is a couple of years off, but, you know, maybe if we accelerated it, it would make a difference, and it doesn't. And, you know, maybe the town has to take a look and see whether or not, you know, take a look at the cost and what the revenue stream is from this and make a determination as to whether or not it's something that they want to continue or not.
Well, and is there a new location?
Let's outsource it.
Okay. Do you do like a consortium like with Pleasantville or something like that?
They can't do it at Warburg.
You know, I don't know.
Does Warburg have mulch there?
Does it? Not that I know.
Maybe I thought it used to. I mean, could you just ask them about what Warburg?
Yeah.
Let's let Alfredo's do it in exchange for not having still to.
I thought maybe they could do it even up at the water tank.
at the far end of the, you know, there's nobody, there's a golf course. Hudson Hills, like up there someplace, or, you know, or even at the water treatment plant where you're not going to bother anybody.
Right.
But they tell me that, you know, it's not that easy to do. And
you got
to
ship all the wood over there.
Yeah, I think maybe the problem is that you can't use that as a drop-off point. You know, when you're taking and transporting it, it's a problem, and you really...
But I thought they were doing something with Warburg. I could be wrong. You guys ask them.
Why are we in the mulching business anyway? I mean, it benefits the residents?
Well, because it means that residents can take and dispose of. We have some places that don't get logged, which is a big thing. So think about, like, after Sandy and everything else.
And sell the mulch.
And then we sell it, and it's a quite great. I mean, residents actually buy a ton of this stuff. They really like it, and it's significantly cheaper than buying it, you know, privately.
And there's no way that they can consolidate the days and just do it more efficiently. In other words, do it just on Tuesdays, Thursdays, or something.
I will ask them about that.
Right. Why is it
maybe that's
every
a compromise.
That's a good idea.
Consolidated schedule. We'll ask.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Then I guess we're on to our administrative items, okay? Very quickly, it's an authorization to transfer funds for paving.
Are we doing it tonight, or are you just giving us a heads up?
No, just a heads up.
Okay.
Okay. Skateboard park equipment, we'd like to request to declare it a surplus.
Right. Did anyone get back to you on that?
No. We just got the one comment.
Right.
That's it. Okay. There's a police conference attendance request. There's a banner request for the Bellcraft Fair.
New Mexico, huh?
Yeah. There's a request for authorization to use town property. This is just sort of ticklish, and is this something we want to extend only to residents?
What are you looking at? Which one?
Request to use town property.
Seventh grader.
Right.
Does the board.
What was your question?
Sure. Do you want to restrict this to residents only? And traditionally we have only
given... Is it to a resident?
No. It's not Pleasant.
Jesus, you're a bell.
So she goes to Chippewa Schools.
Not Pleasant Chippewa Schools.
I wasn't following. I see. Now I understand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now I understand.
Let them use school property. Why can't they use school property?
I don't know.
What have we done in the past?
In the past, we've, you know, it only residents have asked us. It never really has come up, so. Mm-hmm.
I don't see the whole thing, but what's the, Nick, what happens if we let her do it then? Are we setting a precedent that we have to then do it for other non-residents?
Right.
I mean, I think it's a problem. I think it's a slippery slope.
Well, Nick's a project.
So why can't you do it on school? Why can't you do it on school property, though?
I want to find out if it's something that she could do on school property and give her an alternative site. Okay. Yeah. It's a very nice
without
project.
Without saying no.
Yeah, let's see if we can
it might make sense because she says she's given a presentation in school on Earth Day, maybe. She does do it at Bell or something.
It's not like we're opposed to it, but you know, we have to worry about what happens if it's a 50-year-old, you know, guy who wants to do something, you know, then we had a precedent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let me see if there's a nice alternative that we might be able to take care of for her. Okay. So request to release maintenance funds, Old Iron Estates.
Okay.
Okay. There's this money for schools project. They'd like authorization to be able to put boxes at town hall to collect. Where is she looking? She's collecting something.
Box tops for
education.
As a fundraiser for the school.
Foundation. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot of bonds.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's the bonds. It's a Chappaqua PTA and Chappaqua.
I'm having trouble getting there. Hold on.
More project.
Hold on. States. Right, government called it paperwork.
I'm sorry. Okay, is this
paper,
screen thing?
Paper.
Yes. Right, so that's a whole presentation.
So
that
what,
was,
this is a presentation.
That was made
want?
To the school district.
Okay, working on a project, PTA students in Chappaqua Central School mm-hmm. District use three money for schools programs to generate revenue to be used for energy efficient projects. We want the entire Chappaqua community to be aware and involved if possible. So they're doing blast through the school newsletter. They asked us to go put it out through our newsletter. And we wanted to know that they could put a few box tops for education collection boxes at Town Hall. They're essentially the size of a shoebox. And I want to know if that's okay.
I don't know. Do they need to pay a fee for using town property?
What's our cut?
I'm just saying, you know, fields, boxes.
What do you think?
I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Authorization to modify the water billing rate for the Wantoni Bridge project. Okay, so we have one outstanding item for the Wantoni Bridge. It is from Conti, and it had to do with the money that we charged them for the usage while they were here. We charged them the out-of-district rate of $77. We would like permission to be able to reduce it down to $46 a cubic square foot. Basically, we would still cover the outstanding expenses that, okay, this is sort of complicated.
You're saying it nicely.
Yeah. Okay, so the bottom line is that the town still clears $8,000 from this, but Conti contracted with the state to build the bridge, but they used our water, okay? So we had no recourse to sue Conti after they left without paying the water bill. I mean, you could have sued them, but...
Because our contract was with the state and not with Conti.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in the interim, the state did some betterments at the bridge, the cobblestone edging, the brick crosswalks, and things of that nature. And there was an outstanding bill from that. So with the resolution of this Conti bill, our outstanding bill to the state will be resolved. Conti will use that money to then pay the state what we owe them, and we will still end up with $8,000.
It's a package deal.
It's a package deal. We tie it all up, we're done.
Do we need to get anything like releases or anything to tie it all up?
I think we should.
I will certainly, we would get it from the state.
Right.
Yes.
There's no privity between us and Conti.
Right. So.
Well, if anything, Conti would want a release from us, so right, we don't need a release from them. It's what we want a release from the state that we no longer owe them.
The state is actually the entity that sent Conti back to us to say,
correct.
Go resolve this.
Correct.
Yes.
So that's
wasn't that part of a prior close of it?
Yes.
Yes.
We're still trying to close it out.
Yes.
Right. This was the stumbling block. So,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, I will find out about the releases. Okay. But the releases being obtained and to the satisfaction of council, we can reduce the rate and
settle it.
Close this. Okay, fine.
Yes, but I would get the release signed first.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Okay. That's done. Okay. The next is authorization to allow Transamerica Textile Recycling to place a collection bin at the recycling center. So this would be for clothing and things like that. We can take and recycle it, and actually I think we
get money for it.
We get money.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How often are they going to empty that bin?
I don't know.
Because historically what those bins do is they sit there and people dump clothes in them and they stay there forever and then you get mice and they never come, I'm telling you, and they
never
come.
Well, because we've had bins down at recycling and we haven't had any problem with them. Bill Powers is really on it.
I want to find out how often we're going to do that.
Now you leave it outside the bin.
Okay.
Or we can get money.
It counts towards your recycling goals also.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I have no problem with it. I just want to make sure that...
That's a really good point.
You know, it's going to be empty, because otherwise after a while it becomes
empty.
An eyesore.
Absolutely.
And wrap it up.
Santa Pro is offering to sponsor the mobile shredder to come to town.
Oh, that's great.
Twice. Which is fantastic. We actually had a request from a resident wanting to know why is it that the county shredder wasn't coming to us anymore when they were coming all over the place. and it had to do with the fact that we're not part of the county refuse district, so we weren't included in that loop. So they were willing to send it to us. Remember years ago, they used to come all the time. They had a fire in it, and they had problems, and when they reintroduced it, it was only to the those municipalities that were signed on to the county refuse district that we're not part of. Anyway, but Bill Powers reached out to Santa Fe to ask about it, and they said they were willing to do it, so we will advertise next Tuesday,
so
which is just great.
Is he on a Saturday? Where do they set up usually?
Well, traditionally we've done one in conjunction with Town Cleanup Day, which is during the week, and I think the other time they're going to do it is for Community Day.
Maybe we could just have it at the farmer's market a couple days, just as a way to get people to draw people to the farmer's market and take it away.
Well, it's $400 every time we bring them in, so these were the two dates they were willing to give us. Do you want me to see if there's additional dates that they would give us?
Well,
you said for next year?
Our cleanup day. It's the town cleanup day, so it's our records retention day. So it's usually a Wednesday in July. I think it's like July 16th.
Well, that one, it sounds like you need
July 16th, right? And so we would do it the day after, people could come in the afternoon, so that's not a problem. And the other one was going to be Community Day, which is a Saturday, and it would be
that's kind of
that's
great.
Farmers,
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, Community Day is fine.
Yeah. So do you want me to see if there's like other dates that we can get in for the farmers market?
No, Community Day is good.
As part of the refuse contract, it's probably too late, but can we add?
No, we'll definitely ask about it.
Can we add that to the thing at the end of the year?
That was a fabulous thing. And then there's town hall steps and entrance improvements. We'd like to be able to contract with a vendor to take and replace those steps so people can use them.
Are we doing it in phases?
We're going to address the steps first and foremost, take care of that. The entryway right in front here is really in okay shape. The one in front, we're going to take a look at and see if maybe there's just some repairs we can do in the interim.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah,
there is. You definitely have to do.
It's silly at this point. So
right.
Yeah. Okay. Are we doing the carpet? What's with the carpet in town hall?
We're working on it. We're still trying to get some colors. We have better color swatches.
Where those
moving
come
along?
From
your gap.
Oh, good.
They're nice. Okay. I think they're nice.
Yeah, no, we are definitely moving in the right direction. So much better. What an improvement.
So we're going to do that soon?
Yes, okay. As soon as we do it.
Light green?
Yeah, that light seems to be, a lot of people like it.
Not the light green.
I do too.
The second one from the right.
Oh, you like the second
she
one?
She likes the lighter one. People are concerned it's a little
I like
lighter.
The darker one.
But everybody seems to like the first pattern.
That's what I like.
The one at the far left. If we could get that pattern
the
in.
The far left?
Yeah,
no,
see
I like
that
the
dark?
Far right. Nick and
no,
I.
No, the pattern.
The pattern. Not the pattern.
I did, yes.
Oh, okay. You picked the far right last night, but that was after.
That was Ed.
Oh, that's
no,
was
we
Ed.
The colors.
That's right, it wasn't you, it was Ed.
Right. Of course, on TV, they don't know what we're talking about.
Right,
just
okay.
Yeah, Ed has a better sense than
that. He's more colorful.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
I just like, let's just have council make this decision.
A couple things. One is, the town mailing went out. I hope everybody received it. Lots of great things were in it. The SAB noted that the insert that they had submitted was not included. And it wasn't included because in the SAB flyer, and I apologize for not having it with me, it stated that recyclables could not be left at curbside in plastic bags. They had to be in bins. And that's because the SAB spoke to the recycling, not our recycling center, but recycling companies that complained that it was difficult for them to deal with. Well, I for one live on a private road and I can't use a bin. So if you have backdoor pickup or you live on a smaller street where they can't get a large truck, you have to use the plastic bags. They're required. Mm-hmm. They can't accommodate the bins and the loose. So we chose not to include it because it wasn't correct. And Bart checked with Santa Pro and Santa Pro was like, no, that's giving people conflicting information. So we chose not to do it. And evidently SAB took exception with that. So I just wanted the board to be aware of the fact that they wanted the flyer in it. That was why we
do something with the newsletter?
Yeah, but the problem is that
but is that
it's
true?
Not,
I use bags all the time.
and bags are fine. You know, like I said, I have to use a bag.
Blue recycle bag.
Yeah, it's the blue recycle.
They take the clear ones. I use clear ones.
No, no, and clear ones are fine too. But the point is that the flyer that was going out from SAB said you can't use them. They have to be in the bins. And we're happy to sell the bins, and for those people that can use it, that's great. But our carter uses both the bags and the bins. And if you're a backdoor, certainly if you're on the small street the way I am, and it's the same truck that picks up for backdoor, you have to use a bag. Right. They can't accommodate it. So.
Okay.
Sorry for not including it. We didn't, you know, mean to cause any disrespect, but we had to give a consistent message. And the last thing is the antique show. And the woman that came. Here's the memo. There was some concern by the board as to whether or not a September antique show would have a negative impact on the only October antique show that the Historical Society has as a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of third hand. I would have, you know, felt a little bit better if we had actually heard from the Historical Society, but. I'm just a little bit confused by this because we don't ask for permission for the book fair from the school district. That's something that the school district that the book fair does independently. If they, you know, want to use school property, they speak to the school about it. If there's insurance requirements, they negotiate it with the school. We don't have anything to do with that. If you know they would like to go to use the Bell School parking lot.
You know, by the way, let me just say this. My name is in this thing. She called me up and said, I want to use, just like you did for the book fair, I want you to do it for the antique show. I'm like, I had nothing to do with the book fair. It was Dawn Greenberg did it. I didn't book anything for the book fair.
No, they're self-sufficient. They, you know.
Right.
Right, right. And then she says, well, what about the chamber? I'm like, well, I'm not with the chamber anymore. You got to go Solvay. And then basically that's what the conversation is. She said, well, you can't help me.
No, I just, yeah, so.
But it's not our decision whether she can use the Bell parking lot.
Right. No,
right.
She should speak to the
exactly.
school.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Really
okay.
And then we definitely have to speak to the Historical Society before we,
and I think that
wait, what's this tree thing? Conservation Board program.
Oh, it's a program with the Conservation Board. It's just an FYI for you.
Okay.
These flyers are all around Town Hall. It's Wednesday, June 11th, Town Hall Assembly Room from 7:30.
You should put it in the newsletter.
Okay. Yeah.
Do we have a digital version?
I don't know. I think we did already, or we asked them to include it. Did you not see it?
I didn't see it.
Oh, all right.
Is there
sure.
a website? Maybe we can pull
yeah,
up
it
the
came
website.
From. It came from Steve Coleman. I'll make sure it ends up in the newsletter.
Okay.
I was under the impression it was.
We'll go
and just a reminder to everybody that the next work session, in 2 weeks, it's going to be Monday, June 16th, not Tuesday, June 17th.
Mm-hmm.
The 17th is Grievance Day, and we don't meet on that day. And other people have things to do.
June 16th.
What so time? It's Monday, June 16th.
7 o'clock?
Yeah, right, 7:15, and we're going to try to have more interviews, Ethics Committee and other interviews, okay? And I think that concludes our, let me just see if there's anything else.
We still have the CBEC dinner this Friday.
Yeah. I wanted to ask the town board, Sabrina was speaking with Tiffany regarding June 10th, which is next Tuesday, and Tiffany suggested that we have a 1-hour outreach in Town Hall for Town Hall employees to just get their take on it. It would be June 10th,
mm-hmm.
next Tuesday. We would do it at lunchtime. It would just be like a Town Hall outreach for 1 hour.
As part of the master plan.
As part of the master plan process, you know, to just get a different perspective from people who, you know, who work here. And just 1 hour, so with the board's permission, I would try to do it, you know, over lunchtime. And try to entice some town hall.
Hey, it's a great idea. I like that. It's a good idea.
If Tiffany thinks so, we should do it. You know, the thing about Lane Jardine next week, I'm not so sure what kind of response the chamber is getting. We may have to open it up to the public if we want, or we could abandon it, but last I checked, the RSVP, there were only like 6. Now, usually with the chamber, people are late to RSVP, but we may want to open it up to the public. I mean, it's already open to the public. We haven't really advertised it with the public yet.
Okay.
Like, the goal was not to turn anybody away, but we really haven't advertised it yet with the public.
Okay, all right. I don't want to do that. I think that concludes our work session agenda. Do we want to go back into executive session?
We were going to go for advice of counsel.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
All right.
Thank you.